welcome back to Extra Features Interview. Today we have a fantastic guest whose last name I've tried to say about four times and I've given up. So Miles and his film Poppies, welcome to the show. And please tell everybody how to say your last name.
Yaksich, Miles Yaksich.
There you go. That's good enough for you guys. Now you guys can know where to find him, look him up, because you don't want me to brutalize it anymore. So your film Poppies has done very well. We know it's won some awards.
Yeah. It's been doing very well in the festival circuit the last few months.
Which is awesome. The only reason why I know about it, you played in Toronto at a short film festival.
That's right, yeah. We've been in a couple festivals in Toronto and the GTA. We were at Open World Toronto Film Festival, the Hamilton Film Fest, Durham Region Film Festival, and we've got a couple more coming up, I think.
Well, I found just the Open World Film Festival is how I found out about your film. So that's where I first saw it, and I wanted to see it again. I've watched it three times now, so don't tell anybody.
Really?
I have. Well, it's easier to make. First time I see it, it's hard to make notes when I have nothing to make notes with.
Right.
So the second time I just, because it's 20 minutes, I can watch it a couple times.
Yeah.
So I watched it. So I've made it, watched it three. So I have good, solid notes on it, which is good.
Okay. Great.
So why a short? Because I really think this could be almost like a feature-length film, your idea.
Yeah, it's my first anything in film, so that's why it's a short. But then we're working on the feature right now, so hopefully you'll see that come to fruition in the next couple years.
So this is not the same thing, though. This film is going to be a feature?
Yeah, it's going to be like an extension, what happens afterwards.
So there's more to it.
I hope so. Yeah, there should be.
Because I really think it's a contained story.
Well, as a short, it definitely serves as its own. It is contained, and it is satisfying, I think, to watch it. But then kind of a lot of people that I've spoken with after they've watched it, they keep saying they want to see more, they want to know more about both of the characters, the lead characters, right? Both of about their stories. So, yeah, I'm working out how to get that onto the screen.
Okay, let's start with your main leads then, okay? I mean, I only have their real names written down, Matthew and Syndra.
Yeah, that's right.
I wrote down their real names, so I apologize. So the main male, and I wrote down, he's a bit of a dick. Like, you know, as soon as he walks on the plane, you're not supposed to like him. The way he acts, the way he sits, the way he speaks, the way he dresses. He's not friendly.
He's not. That's all part of the... I mean, I think everyone, though... You don't have to like him, but I think everyone can identify with him. When you are flying, most of the time you want to be left alone. And you, like, you have other things in your mind, right? So, he's not supposed to be the most likable person, but hopefully towards the end of the film you come around and can understand and empathize with him a little bit.
No.
A little bit more.
No, I can't. I really dislike him so much.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm supposed to like him because he was nice to her in the end? I don't care.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I cannot like him.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys to me that sits in first class and you just don't even want to speak to him in the lobby. he wouldn't load you an iPhone charger. He wouldn't give you a dollar. He wouldn't even look at you twice if you weren't in a boardroom with him. I totally got that impression from him.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the character that he's supposed to be portraying, so that he did a good job.
Oh, no, I thought he did his job excellent, but what I'm saying is I don't want to talk to this guy on the plane. He wouldn't be, I wouldn't even get up for him, like, you can walk over me. You know? You're saying people want to know more about him? No, thank you.
Okay.
I have to, so I'm just saying, like, even on the plane, he says, I'm talking to my mother, I don't have a girlfriend. Like, it's evident, buddy. You're miserable.
Yeah, he is.
Like, people are telling you they want to see more of this character. I'm like, no thanks. Now, Syndra's character, on the other hand, absolutely. Give me more. Because she has an exciting, rich, full life.
Yeah.
Like, I want more of that. I could see that character people wanting more of.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if this plane gets hijacked, you could take him, Matthew, out in the first 10 minutes, and I don't think anybody's going to be upset.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, that's just my opinion. It's still a great film. Now, let's get into it a bit more.
Yeah.
Now, I have questions about Syndra. Does she have dementia, her character?
No.
Okay, because I was wondering. At times, she's got that look. I'm like, is something going on? I mean, she does bring things back a lot.
Yeah, no. It's more her character. It's more about, I think, as people, we romanticize our pasts a lot. And we modify the way that we remember things to serve us in the present. So I think that that's part of where she's molding her memories to kind of soothe her present situation and where she is in the present.
Well, her big line is, and I'll say her little spiel, is that I have no children, and I'm hoping people will tell this story and remember me by.
Right, yeah, that's kind of the theme for her character.
So why is she telling him? And I really think that's the issue. I mean, I feel bad for her, that she has nobody else to tell these stories to.
Well, that's where the whole film is rooted around. It's about the, like, how two people can perceive the same symbol in two different ways. So she starts talking to him because he has a bouquet of poppy flowers.
Yes.
And that's why she's talking to him. And I think she can also sense that he is upset about something. You said he's a dick, he's a jerk, but it's because he's going through something, and she's trying to talk to him about, she's doing it in a way that is incorrect for him, but yeah. That's why she's talking to him.
But she also does that with the stewardess too.
That's right, yeah.
So, I mean, I think she's just reaching for anybody to listen to her. I think
totally, she wants connection.
She's a very lonely person. I feel bad for her as a person.
Yeah, they both are lonely people, I think, that have found each other on this flight.
So I have questions. Did you make him order whiskey just because you thought he would order whiskey?
No.
I just thought it was a very strong drink to have on a plate, because she even comments you drink a lot. I'm like, well, this guy does drink a lot of whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, I used to work in the finance industry in Singapore. Like, his character is very much modeled after my experience working there, and that's kind of like, when we're working, that's what we're drinking a lot of in Asia. That's kind of the drink for bankers, and yeah.
Okay, now the poppies. We really should discuss the poppies at some point. They're
yeah,
very
absolutely.
Strong symbolistic film throughout it. I mean, the poppies pop. Anytime you've used the color red, it pops in this film.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a lot of hard work from all the department heads on making sure that was something that the audience can perceive.
Because I noticed even when they had dinner, I didn't see any vegetables or anything. Like, the colors were very bland. On the plane, mm-hmm. Everything is bland.
Yep.
Now, is
the
that
real
your
world
plan?
For, like, their real world experience? Is this plane ride, and it is. It's very neutral. It's very, we use a color palette that has both warm and cool tones, and we use lighting to kind of shift the mood throughout the flight. But yes, it's supposed to be something very neutral so that when he does experience her stories, that's where all the color lives. The color lives in the fantasy.
No, I go, okay. I mean, they're her memory. I don't know. And he places himself in those fantasies.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought.
We are, as an audience, we're experiencing her stories through his perspective. So what the audience sees is what he is visualizing, listening to her. That's one of the things that I like about stories and memories. It's everyone has a different perception of what reality is. So you and I could go for lunch together, and in 10 years we might remember that lunch being very different. Like, you might have a different experience of it based off of how your day went versus mine. So I like that we get to experience her stories through a filter, which is from an outsider's perspective, and trying to understand and piece together. That's why there's some things in the stories that don't quite make sense. They're not quite accurate, but it's because that's how a foreigner or an outsider might interpret them, you know, and piece them together.
So I guess if we're having lunch, we're having whiskey, then I should just accept that.
You should just accept that. You can order your cocktail of choice.
So I gotta say, where did you find your plane location? Because that didn't look easy.
Yeah, no, we were very lucky. We had very supportive, locations that were very open to, our project. We shot the plane in a studio in North Hollywood, where they shoot a lot of films there. So it was very film friendly and very customizable. So like the look and feel of this plane is exactly what, myself and the production designer wanted it to look and feel like. Which we couldn't get at some other options. Some other things were kind of set up and ready to go, and that's all we could do.
Now, I want to discuss your beach scene. Like, wow. Like, that's
wow.
Tough, man. Like, like we were discussing earlier, your plane seems dull, boring, whatever, I don't care. And then you just put me into this new universe. I'm like, give me that.
Yeah.
And was that your whole plan for
the
universe?
Sure is. Right.
I could see that, but I mean, where did you find that location? I mean, you got that thing to pop. And I mean, I'm saying the colors. This is where I really think they come into effect. Like just boom, boom, like a firework.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all fantastic that you're saying that. And that's the, you know, the reaction that you had. We shot that at a beach. The whole thing was shot in California. That was in a beach near a little bit past Malibu called Leo Carrillo. And it was like a horrible day. It was so overcast and cold, and everyone was miserable because it was February and it was really cold. And it was like thunderstorms. But that all translated really well into our film because the sky looked beautiful. We had a very solid color grade that really helped push the colors and you know, give that surreal quality. Yeah.
I want to discuss the paintings, because I don't know if that comes up a lot. Who did those paintings? Because it looks like they're done so quick when she's painting.
Yeah, our production designer and the art department took care of all of that. We talked a lot about kind of the style, and I wanted to really blend. In this film, I'm hoping the one thing that I really wanted to push in this film is the blending of or coming together of East and Western cultures. Having lived overseas for several years. So I wanted to do like traditional Chinese paintings with ink, but do it in more of like a Western style on an easel with a canvas, like, which is all part of like how someone from outside might perceive her saying she painted, like just not fully understanding the culture and trying to piece together how it might look like.
And I mean, I like the opium den. It was very oriental. I thought, like I said, I really believed everything she was telling me. And I thought that worked well. Now, right. We have to find, where did you find her? Because she's like the perfect looking oriental grandmother.
Yeah, in general, all of the cast came together so organically. I met Cindera through mutual friends and all of that is makeup. She's not that old. You know, that's a lot of makeup, great makeup. And yeah, we had a coffee and I just knew from her body language and the tone of her voice that, you know, she's Auntie Ling and she can really bring the story, you know, bring those stories to life. And have a lot of movement in her voice and yeah, a lot of presence, which, you know,
character needs. I have to admit, the movement on her voice is one of the most important things you displayed in this. Now, did you coach her on that, or just came to her naturally?
No, I mean, I got to rehearse with all of the actors a comfortable amount, and we really worked on bringing, like, bringing Auntie Ling's voice in terms of age and wisdom, but then also this like sultry romantic flair to it. Yeah. So, I mean, we worked on that, but of course she, you know, she's behind it.
And your male lead, I got to admit, I mean, I don't know. She comments on his Chinese and say it's really good. I mean,
yeah.
Was that hard to find though? A very Caucasian looking person speaking, far as I can tell, I watch a lot of Asian cinema. It sounded good to me.
Yeah, he's one of the main kind of foreign actors working in China. He's in a lot of, you know, big films and TV there. So he's fluent. He's bilingual. I think he lived in China for like 6 years. And now he's based in LA right now. And he and I had a lot of mutual friends, which is how we first met. And, you know, he lived in China, I lived in Singapore. So we had a shared experience and so, I mean, I wanted to integrate that. I wanted to use that because when you live in a different country as a foreigner, you still, like, even though, I mean, he's fluent, I'm not, because I wasn't an actor, but, like, you still have to pick up some parts of the local language, and you still have to use those things, and that does become a part of you, and it affects how you think, because language is so much a part of culture, and the way, like, language serves a culture very well, and that it can prevent you from experiencing something if they don't have words to, like, if they don't have the way to articulate it, or if we don't have the way to articulate. There's not direct translations for everything. So I think it was important because that was definitely something I went through living there.
So did your film come from way living in Singapore? Is that where it originates from?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, flying has always been one of my favorite times because it's very introspective and it's a time to disconnect from the real world and be somewhere else for a bit and be in your own head. And then, so I would say Charles, Matthew's character is very much modeled after, you know, my experience and some of the fears that I had living so far from home. And Auntie Ling is kind of a mashup of all the things that I loved about Chinese culture and all the impression that I got from my great friends, from my mentors, from people bringing me into their lives in Singapore, but in across Asia. I have friends throughout Southeast Asia, and it's kind of like my way of expressing those feelings and those thoughts and trying to work out how a different culture can make you look at your life values or your, you know, it changes your perspective.
Now, when you were looking at making this film, did it ever occur to you to make it over there, or was it always in turn to make it in L.A.?
I mean, for the feature, I would love to be able to shoot some of it overseas. For the short, it wasn't something that was realistic or something, especially as my first film. I didn't want to add that extra challenge. I felt like I had a lot on my plate to put this together as is and doing it this way. But, for the feature, of course, I want to make it as authentic as possible.
That's awesome. I think that's great. Now we always have to ask, since you're an indie filmmaker, I have to ask a couple of weird questions. How's your funding go? Did you self-fund it? Did you ask any friends?
Yeah, I self-funded about 70% of the budget, and then the remaining 30%, I had two great investors come on board who really connected with the story and wanted to see it. You know, they believed in me and the vision. They believed in the talent that was attached, and they really wanted to see it come to life the best possible way and jumped on board and gave us that, you know, a big boost to get us over the finish line.
Well, my other favorite question is I always get good catering stories. So how was your catering?
I think the catering was good. I think you need to ask the other crew. I was fine. I think it was good. I know that, like, catering is important because if everyone is full and happy, then everyone is okay to do anything crazy that I might want to do when we have 10 minutes left in the day. But yeah, no, I mean, that's all important to me. My goal for this, I mean, outside of the film and the finished product, was to make sure that everyone had a positive experience working with me and building a team of people that I can rely on and work with, you know, for the future, especially coming, like I said, from a different industry. This was I'm jumping into the game a little bit late, and it's important for me to make sure everyone enjoys being on set with me.
Now, I have a question. Did you color touch the flowers, or are they really that red when he comes on the plane?
I don't think that we, like, particularly boosted the red tones. Well, that, we color graded the film, but no, the flowers were gorgeous. They're real poppies too. It's, one of the second ADs, she was like, oh, I just wish you got real flowers when she was looking at the close up shots. And I was like, they are real. Those are real. Like, great that they look fake, but they're real.
Well, I had to ask, and I was like, I'm like, are they colored? Because they're so red. Again, I'm going back to the red.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I'm sure that I can't remember specifically if we popped them even more. We might have done a little bit, but it was, I think that the feeling of intensity is because really in the production design, there is no red.
No.
Other than the flowers.
None.
So when you do see red, it should give you that burst of intensity and that burst of, like, particularly passion, which is what Auntie Ling associates with the flowers, is this, like, idea of romance and passion and, like, kind of sexual love. So it's, like, that was important for me, that you get that burst of energy.
Well, that's great. What made you want to be a filmmaker?
I've always loved making film. I mean, this is my first film, but when I was a kid, I was always playing around with the camera and writing scripts and doing stop motion animation with like clay and you know, dinosaur toys and trying to make a Jurassic Park for $3 and, you know, our family's camcorder. And, I did a short film when I was like 12 years old and then some, you know, drifted out of it. Probably got too scared to pursue something creative and went into something that's completely not me and did that for a bit. And then, I lived in Singapore and then I moved to Vietnam and I was there for almost 2 years and I was going to go do my MBA, my master's in business. And I just realized I'm going to go do that and just keep doing this instead of trying something that I really, really, really want to do and something I think I'm very good at. You know, I feel that way about it. I love it. And so I decided to take the gamble and give it a go. And it's, yeah.
So your film's been touring the circuit for a while. What's your eventual goal for it other than making a feature? Is this once it's done the festival circuit, you're putting it in a box or?
No. We premiered in June and it's, you know, been in festivals since then, and that should hopefully continue for a few more months. We're currently working on the feature and then hopefully working on some distribution to get the short out there. My big thing is I want to get the story out there. I think it's a fairly universal story that everyone can connect with in one way or another. Hopefully you learn something about a different place and a different culture at the same time. And, it's just something I'd love to share with people and share with everybody.
Okay. It's time for fun questions. You ready?
Okay. I hope so.
Your favorite food?
Oh my gosh. Everything. I eat too much. Favorite food is probably, well, I love ramen and I do love Vietnamese food after living there. So I'll go with ramen and pho. I love soups.
Nothing wrong with that. I'll back you up. Your favorite film?
There's a few. I love The Talented Mr. Ripley, Match Point. I think those are two of my, and then like my favorite movie. Those are like my favorite movies now, but when Jurassic Park, all the way.
A film you wish you had made.
A film I wish I had made?
Yes.
Oh, Titanic.
Oh, there you go.
I wish that I made Titanic.
So tell everybody where your film's going to be in the next couple weeks, a couple months, so we know where to find it.
Yeah, you can check out on our website. We've got a list of all the upcoming festivals. So it's poppies-film.com. Or our Instagram and Facebook is at poppiesfilm. We've got a newsletter you can sign up for, which will give you all the updates for upcoming festivals. I think our next ones are actually in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, and towards the beginning of January. Yeah. And then hopefully we just had one in LA last week and then, yeah, we'll see. And then in Europe, in Berlin in February. So
well, that's the one you need to go to.
Got to go to the mall if I can.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. You were awesome. I hope you had fun.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.